ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15 as we continue our in-depth study of the Gospel of John. And keep in mind, we are just hours away from Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and eventually crucified. And if you remember, Jesus and his men were celebrating Passover, except for Judas. Judas left before the meal was over to betray Jesus. And now the meal's all over. They had sung a hymn, and they're going out the East Gate, or the Beautiful Gate. And on this gate is this beautiful vine branch. And as they passed this door, Jesus spoke to them about the vine and the branches, that he's the vine and we're the branches, and we need to be attached to him. We need to draw our life, our nutrients from him if we're going to produce fruit in our lives. And as I've said, as we've been going through John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 over the next few weeks, we'll be getting into that, Jesus is giving his farewell address to his men. He's giving them the things that they will need to equip them for the work that's ahead after he's gone. We saw last time Jesus focus on love. We saw in John 15, verses 12 through 14, Jesus tell his men, and really us, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And Jesus is not speaking of a brotherly type of love or a phileo type of love in the Greek. He's speaking of a supernatural love, something that does not come from just trying harder or being better. This is a love that only comes from God. It's not manufactured. And if you doubt it, then all you have to do is read what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And you can understand, hey, I can't do that on my own. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit, singular, is love. What's manifested out of that love are many different things. Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of that love, then we see joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, I can have joy because of this love that God has given to me. I can have peace in the midst of all kinds of disasters because of this love that God has given to me. I could be long-suffering until someone pushes my button. That's it, man, they're dead. No, that's not what it says. That's my flesh, really. And thus, I need God's Spirit to help me to live the way God wants me to live. And really, love is the key. And you think, well, didn't we just cover this last week? And, you know, you beat us up last week, now you're doing it again. No. The reason I'm repeating it is because we have to understand this, because it focuses on what Jesus talks about next. He's going to tell his men that as much as they love people, the people of this world, they're going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to persecute you. I got to love those guys? Yeah, that's the key. And so that's where human love will not suffice. Because when someone comes against us, when someone hates us, when someone gets in our face, what is the human response? We get in their face, right? Before I got saved, man, you didn't really want to be in the car with me. Because you would not believe the crazy people that are out there that drive. They should not have their license. They are so slow. I mean, come on, I seen a turtle going faster than their car. So I would be on their bumper to get them to go faster. She would be cringing, hiding, because she was terrified we were going to die. That's a fleshly love. Hey, they're fine until they get in my way. But a godly love is, it doesn't matter what they say, what they do, how they behave. I need to love them as Christ loved me. But I'll tell you what, It's getting tougher and tougher in this world today, isn't it? Why do we see such an attack against Christianity? Why are people so angry with us? What are we doing that's so bad? I'll give you what one person wrote. He said, "Religious liberty is enshrined in the U.S. Constitution, yet the meaning of this core American value has been debated throughout the nation's history. Today, conflicts most often arise from Christian nationalism, the anti-democratic notion that America is a nation by and for Christians alone. At its core, this idea threatens the principle of the separation of church and state and undermines the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment." First of all, there is nothing in the Constitution that speaks about separation of church and state. Secondly, this was a Christian nation. We've gone over this before many times. It was based on Judeo-Christian values. You look at the Constitution, it was based on Christian values. These men spoke mostly Christian ideas, Christian values, and from the Scriptures. They wanted to bring the gospel message to the people of this nation. So, you know, he's wrong there, but he goes on, "It also leads to discrimination and at times violence against religious minorities and the non-religious." Again, we are evil people because we are always, I mean, you see us on the news, we're always burning buildings and attacking people. Oh, no, that's not us, right? That's right. "Christian nationalism is also a contributing ideology in the religious rights misuse of religious liberty as a rationale for circumventing laws and regulations aimed at protecting a pluralistic democracy, such as non-discrimination protections for LGBTQI+. I don't even know what the I is, I'm sorry. People, women, and religious minorities. These issues will only draw more attention in the years ahead, since the 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court appears eager to hear more religious liberty cases advancing Christian nationalism arguments than in previous years." Are Christians really the problem? Are there bad Christians out there? Of course there are. They say they're Christian. I don't know if they are by their actions. But for the most part, we are not a violent people. We care for people. But again, doesn't matter if it's true or not, they're saying that we are the problem. Why? Because we stand up for morality. We stand up for what's right. They don't like that. I mean, think about it. I mean, we only have to go a few years back with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and what they did, not only in this state, but in other states. The buildings they destroyed, the millions of dollars of damages, businesses that were lost. And they said that that wasn't terrorism. It was the funniest picture I ever saw was the reporter who was talking about, it's mostly a peaceful rally and there's buildings burning behind him. What kind of reporter are you? But then the federal government says, Bible-believing Christians, I'm pointing my finger at all of you, are terrorists. Really? Here's the report. "So who are these alleged domestic terrorists which pose such an existential threat to our democracy? The U.S. government's report identifies two categories of bad guys. First, there are the racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists and networks whose racial, ethnic, or religious hatred leads them to violence, who focus their violence towards persons of color, immigrants, Jews, Muslims, other religious minorities, women and girls, LGBTQI+ individuals, or others. Second, there are the anti-government or the anti-authority violent extremists who take steps to violently resist government authority or facilitate the overthrow of the U.S. government based on preconceived overreach and may be motivated to violence by single-issue ideologies related to abortion. To put it simply, according to the Biden administration, all Bible-believing Christians who have religiously informed perspectives on human sexuality, marriage, LGBTQI+, etc., and or who are passionately opposed to the killing of innocent babies in utero, abortion, are potential domestic terrorists." You guys are scaring me. You guys are potential domestic terrorists. "This verbal trickery became possible because some very clever liberal elite snowflakes have quite intentionally and maliciously redefined faith-informed and reasoned disagreement with their sexually permissive worldview as hate. And strong hate almost invariably leads to violence. Ergo, Christians are domestic terrorists. By self-serving, labeling truth hate, they have effectively silenced a large swath of timid believers whom, though commanded to speak the truth in love, really do not like being called names. Again, you read that and get mad at that, right? But here's where we need to be careful. There's nothing wrong with being mad about this because it's not true. We're not terrorists. We're not unloving. In fact, we love even the unborn, which they hate. And it's kind of interesting because they say we're hateful and intolerant, but they're hateful and intolerant towards my views, right? Isn't that interesting? It's only one-sided, but that is the world. How do we respond to this? What did Jesus say in John 15:12? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You think, are you kidding me? No. This is not a suggestion, it's a command. And again, the world pushes our buttons, believe me. I don't even really watch the news anymore. I used to watch the weather, but I don't even watch that anymore because I just get aggravated. No, that's not true. Just because I disagree with someone doesn't mean I hate them. But you see, isn't that a really good idea? If you don't agree with me, you hate me and you're intolerant. That's never true. We're going to disagree on things, but we don't hate each other. But they got Christians to believe that, and so they've compromised their faith because of it. So this morning, you know, we thought we had a tough subject last week with loving people. This is going to even go farther because we're going to look at how the world's response. And I've broken these verses down into three main points. They're in your bulletin. The world's hatred in John 15, verses 18 through 20. No excuse in John 15, verses 21 through 25. And how can we go on in John 15, verses 26 through 27? So let's pick up John chapter 15, starting in verse 18, and let's see what the Lord has for us as we look at the scriptures here in John and the world's response. We're told, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And I want you to see the bridge here that comes from John chapter 15, verse 17 to verse 18. Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Then he says, the world's going to hate you. Wow, that is an interesting bridge, right? The world's going to hate us. And Jesus here is speaking to his men, warning them. And that's why love is so important. We're commanded to love one another. And I'll tell you what, we are going to need each other and depend on each other for help and support as we experience the hatred of the world. The tragic thing that I saw with this whole COVID issue is that it divided the body of Christ. There were those who thought that it was nothing, and they were mad at those who thought it was something. There were those who were not vaccinated, and they were mad at those who were vaccinated. And it goes the other way around, vice versa. There were those who were mad that the church was opened up, and others mad that it wasn't opened up soon enough. I got in trouble for this. You open it up too soon. You're taking your mask off too soon. You're doing whatever. You don't have to agree. And the devil divided the church. Not just here, but throughout the nation and really the world. Here's the thing. Whatever your feelings on those issues, let them go. Who cares? Who really cares, right? I'm not saying ignore what you believe, but let it go. Do you think that this is going to be the first and last issue that's going to come down the pike? Are you kidding me? there will be more and more attacks to divide people up. We saw it, again, a few years ago, dividing it up with the race issue. Was there a race issue? With some people, there's always been a race issue. But with the majority of Americans, we got along until they made it a race issue. It was so interesting. They said, look at the number of black people that are being killed by police. Do you realize there were more white people killed by police officers? You see, misinformation got us divided and fighting amongst each other. And they love to do that. And we have to be wise, because they realize the power of the church in this nation and really in this world. So how do you defeat the church? You divide it and conquer it. You make a compromise, and eventually it becomes the one world religion. The church of Laodicea, where Jesus is outside the church knocking to get in. And, you know, you got to think about this. When you get to heaven, are you going to say, hey, Lord, you know about this whole COVID issue? Was I right on that? I think I am, right? There's no way. And most of the things we think that we fight so much for, it's not even an issue in heaven, right? But it is down here. Love is the key. And, you know, it's interesting how the world wants to push our buttons again. But we are to love one another. When we weren't meeting for those, I don't know, a month or whatever it was, that was the hardest thing for me. You know why? Because it was horrible not to fellowship with you guys. It was horrible not to worship with you. It was horrible not to be able to study God's word with you. That's something I love to do, to be in the fellowship of the brethren. But again, many Christians, even today, I mean, how many years out are we from this whole COVID? Well, we're never out of it, but that's another story. But people are still not going to church. They've isolated them from the body of Christ. And why? You know, I was talking to the nurse practitioner for my diabetes, because it's at a hospital, I had to wear a mask still. I said, you know, think about this for a minute. We're all wearing masks, we're all covering ourselves so we don't get sick, right? So our immune system is getting weaker. So eventually, if we ever take off these masks, we're going to be in serious trouble. She goes, I know. The hospital policy is that we're waiting till the numbers come down. I said, they'll never come down. We're in the flu season here. This is what naturally happens this time of year. People get sick. But again, people think that wearing a mask, isolating from everyone, is going to be the healthiest thing for them. I think it's the most dangerous thing. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, someone in your, you know, that you knew, a friend, neighbor, relative, got chicken pox. What did your mom do? My mom took me over to their place. Today, you'd probably be arrested for that, right? Because you're building an immune system. But again, the enemy knows how to divide and conquer. And the world's hatred does that too. You know, when Jesus speaks of the world, he's not speaking of the created world or humanity in general. He's speaking of a society apart from God, a society that is opposed to God, the world system. And look at their plans and the organizations and activities and their values and philosophies and so on. This is a society without God. And I don't know about you, but man, over the last several years, we've seen this grow in this country tremendously, where this nation is so opposed to God that they will do everything and anything. You know, John in 1 John 5:19 speaks about the devil's pull upon their lives. He says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Understand where they're coming from, guys. Yeah, they have choices to make, but there is a pull upon their lives away from God and to do these depraved things. And it's a battle. We're of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the devil. The world hates us because we love God. because we stand up for righteousness and hate evil. And some just hate us. They're under the sway of the devil. And again, why? Why all this hatred towards Christians? But think about it. Did they hate Jesus? I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not even close to the way Jesus behaved. He was perfect, right? He was loving, caring. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the ears of the deaf, opened the mouth of the mute, let the blind see, the lame walk. I mean, look at all the things that he did. And they hated him? Yeah. You see, they didn't like what he stood for. And thus, because we are followers of Christ, they don't like what we stand for. What do I mean? We stand up for righteousness. We're opposed to sin. And thus, the world is against us because they're for sin and they're against righteousness. Now, they would never put it that way. But you look at the activities of these people and you go, wow, that's not of God, not at all. And that's, you know, we came out of where? We came out of the world. We were in the world. And we became part of the church. The Greek word is for church is ekklesia. Literally means an assembly of called out ones. We were called out of this world. Just as the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. How long did it take them to get out of Egypt? One night. How long did it take for Egypt to get out of them? 40 years. Well, isn't that just like us? Salvation is instantaneous, right? We come before the Lord, we ask him to be Lord and Savior of our lives, forgive us of our sins, we're saved. But then it's a lifetime of getting all that garbage out of our lives. It's the sanctification process where God is working. And this is what the world is against when we stand up for the things that are of God. In fact, 1 John 2, verses 15 and 17, John gives a warning. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, is he talking about the trees and the flowers? And no, he's talking about a world system that's opposed to God. Don't love those things. Don't buy into that stuff. Don't follow their ways. Why? He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, what does the world have? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And thus, where is your focus? The world or the Lord? And you can't love both because whoever you love the most is going to be manifested in your life. And I realize that some feel that things are so bad right now. You know, people hate Christians. They say bad things about us. But you know what? It's just getting started, guys. I mean, think about it. We're not in the tribulation period. We're not even part of the tribulation period. These are the pre-labor pains. But they're going to get bad. I don't think they're going to get good. And just as they hated the early church, people of this world hate us. One wrote, it's an odd fact that the world soon justified its hostility to them, the early disciples, by imputing to them the initiative in hatred. The earliest existing reference to Christians in pagan literature charges them with hatred of the human race. What do they charge us with? Oh, hatred. You know, the devil doesn't change, does he? Because he doesn't have to. They called Christians back then hateful. They call us hateful. Isn't that interesting? Nothing seems to change. Wow. I guess if we don't agree with their sin, their wicked lifestyle, we're hateful and intolerant. I don't hate them. I just don't agree with what they believe in regard to, you know, transgenderism, homosexuality, you know, children taking drugs to change their gender, which they don't really change their gender. Their DNA tells us who they are anyway. But all the things, alcohol, drugs, pornography, all this stuff. I don't hate them. I feel sorry for them. because they're trying to fill a void in their heart. And look at how depraved it's getting to fill that void. And it'll never be filled outside of God. I don't know if you've seen this or heard people say this before. I've heard people say this several times and posted on Facebook, but they say that love the sinner, hate the sin is not biblical. And they're very bold about it. They said that that is not a biblical statement. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible. Okay, well, can you show me where the word Trinity is in the Bible? Oh, the word Trinity is not in there. Oh, no, but the principle is, isn't it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three distinct persons.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.